You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is The Agenda
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Hello there, and thank you for downloading The Agenda's podcast from today, the 16th of April. On the show today, we had a big focus on scamming, because live music fans are being targeted by scammers who've created a fake festival called 28 Aura. Now, they promised performances by The Weeknd and Ariana Grande, but it was all fake. We spoke to several local industry insiders about how you can avoid getting caught out. Meanwhile, we kept you all up to date with everything that was going on with the weather. Many residents reporting devastating flooding. Roads were impassable and homes were leaking. We find out how you can claim for damage to your car. And we also got into the details of how you can ensure that you're protected against flood damage. Meanwhile, an Emirati is set to spend 45 days living in a Mars simulation habitat in Texas. His Excellency Salam Al-Mari, the Director General of the Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center, talked us through the aim of the so-called UAE Analog Program. And the first ever criminal trial of a former US president is just getting underway with jury selection. American politics expert Professor Adam Ramey told us what it means for former President Trump and his new election bid. And Chris McCarty brought us up to date with all the latest sports news. We are discussing a brand new scam that seems to be doing the rounds, this time targeting live music enthusiasts in the UAE. They're being warned of multiple scams involving fake ticket sites. A recent case, a really interesting professional case, saw adverts for the 28 Aura Festival cropping up on social media. It promised a really impressive lineup of chart-topping artists, including people like Ariana Grande, The Weeknd, Travis Scott, Jack Harlow, Ice Spice. I mean, if you check out the Facebook page, which is still up, it's very impressive indeed. This is one of the promotional videos they had on that site.
First time in Dubai, The Weeknd.
Sounds cool, doesn't it? But it was completely fake. The website and the Instagram page associated with that so-called festival have now been taken offline. It was 28aura.com with the 28 written out. It's not the first time it's happened. Lots of people got scammed with sort of fake Taylor Swift tickets being resold on Facebook groups here in the UAE. There was a sort of Drake concert that was allegedly taking place. That proved to be a fake. And obviously, we've spoken to people here quite a bit about the Museum of the Future being targeted by scammers and Global Village as well. That was at the end of last year. So how should this be handled by the industry? Well, a little earlier, I spoke to Thomas Overson. He's the multi-award-winning promoter who runs All Things Live Middle East. And I started by asking him whether this type of scam, the 28 Aura Festival scam, is normal.
No, I think the norm have been that unlicensed, invalid ticketing operators, if you like, would have tried to resell tickets. So in theory, if you decided not to attend an event, you would sell your ticket to one of these services, and they would try and unsell it to someone else with a markup. And over the years, that has then progressed that they perhaps themselves would try and buy a bulk number of tickets and then unsell with a markup. And as we increased difficulties for doing that technically, they would sometimes perhaps be selling what was an invalid ticket, and sort of then really scamming you. This is the next level, I guess, because this is deliberate. They're not even trying to buy a ticket from an event and then hold on to it till the event is sold out and sell it on. They're creating a fake event and selling a non-existing ticket. So this is completely, obviously, a criminal offense. And that's something that we haven't seen very often. And it's absolutely disgusting.
Well, it is. And I have to say, it was a very tempting website. The advert for it was brilliant. It had some fantastic artists suggesting, you know, that the Weeknd and Ariana Grande were going to participate. You can understand why people would want to buy tickets. Do you think that these scammers are deliberately targeting the UAE market?
Yeah, I think anywhere. I mean, you have these scams globally, and they are not just within the events industry. It's also financial services, the crypto bargains, and stuff like that. I think if you are with a mindset of this is your business and you're going to get people hooked to buy something that doesn't exist, you will obviously advertise something you think some people would really crave. So when it comes to events, you will claim to have the best and the biggest top-rated artist in concert, and then some people will fall for it. And in the end of the day, at least I guess if it was a more complex proposition, it might be difficult to see what is true and what is not. But I would just advise that fans always go to the official website of the artist. And if the event is not listed there, it's pretty likely that the event doesn't exist. And if you want to buy a ticket for any concert with any artist, you should be able to click through from the artist's official website. And if that's not possible, again, that artist probably isn't selling tickets for the event that you've seen advertised.
Good advice there. I mean, is it something that the industry is worried about? That, you know, do you regularly meet with other promoters, for example, to sort of try and figure out how to manage these types of issues?
Over the years, we have dealt with the authorities in Dubai in particular with regards to some of the global so-called ticketing agencies that was doing the on-selling, because that is by law prohibited here unless the ticket allows you to do so. And for most artists, it's a no-go. And we've managed actually to sort of join forces against, in particularly via GoGo, which is one of the services that have been doing this, and in many countries has been prosecuted legally for doing it. But I mean, this, when someone goes out and blatantly scams, this is a criminal offense. This is for the police. It's not even for trade bodies or whatever. And as I said, I think we see this across other offerings, including financial services, etc. So I'm sure this is flagged with Dubai police, but it's not unique to this market. I think criminals that are after easy money will pretend that they have something to sell that many people really would like, and then there's just someone that's bound to fall for it. So I don't think we can do much as an industry. I can only say that at least in this market, we have this practice that we tend to advertise the ticketing, the official ticketing companies on our artwork. And the customers should always just double check with the official website of the artist. If the event is not listed there, the event doesn't exist. But again, one day, perhaps these scammers will create a false-looking Taylor Swift website, right? So it is disgusting. And I think it's just what criminals are able to do in the digital world.
As far as real events that we've got to look forward to in the coming months, are there any in particular that you're excited about?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the market is just flooded with so many great events up and down the UAE. So there should be something for everyone. Ourselves, we currently have a September show with a Finnish outfit called Apocalyptica that plays Metallica on classical instruments. So there's one for
Cool.
the Metallica fans. And then we have Macklemore at Coca-Cola Arena in October. And then within the next couple of weeks, we're announcing a string of events across the UAE for autumn and a couple of really big shows for January 2025. And all of them are legit and will be clearly advertised on the artist's official websites.
A few hints and tips there of something that we've got to look forward to, and that is Thomas Overson, the promoter who runs all things live Middle East. You might remember he's the man that brought those record-breaking Ed Sheeran concerts to town. Was it at the beginning of this year? No, it was last year, wasn't it? It was at the end of last year. Great stuff anyway, and plenty of advice there from Thomas. Now, we are going to be hearing from a few other industry insiders. Looking forward to speaking to Mark Jan Carr. He's the general manager for the Coca-Cola Arena in the next few minutes.
You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is The Agenda with Georgia Tolley
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Hello there. Welcome back to The Agenda, where we are discussing ticketing scams on the show today. That is after adverts for a fake festival in Dubai started appearing on social media. I wonder whether you got one on your stream. It was the 28 Aura Festival, and it promised a lineup of chart-topping artists, including Ariana Grande, The Weeknd, Travis Scott, Jack Harlow, and Ice Spice. Yeah, very tempting, because of course it would be the first time that The Weeknd has performed in the UAE. And it is the latest in a spate of scams involving concerts and also museum ticket sales. And we've been getting the views of industry insiders on The Agenda today. People across the UAE who work in the live music industry. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined now on the line by Mark Yankar, who is general manager for the Coca-Cola Arena. Mark, thanks so much for joining us on Teams. Appreciate your time. Good to see you. Is this a widespread problem, or is it quite unusual that the scammers would go to the degree of creating an entirely new fake festival?
Unfortunately, it's no longer new. In particular with Arabic content, fake tickets, not necessarily fake concerts, but fake tickets are an occurrence and have been probably for the last 4 or 5 years. What we are obviously seeing is on the Western front, so Western concerts, not only have we got fake tickets, but we also now have fake festivals, as was with the Drake one a couple of weeks ago. And of course, there's 28 Aura that came through.
Was this something that you guys became aware of quite quickly? You know, when you heard the rumours that Drake was coming to the UAE, were you a bit like, hang on a second, I work in this industry, I hadn't heard that, it must be a fake?
Instantly. The reality, the economics of a Drake concert in the UAE would be very challenged. It would probably only make sense if it's off the back of a regional tour. So if perhaps they are performing in Bahrain or in Saudi or sort of closer into the GCC region. So instantly it was this doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I mean, but that's from inside the industry, right? I mean, how about people from outside, you know, customers who are really excited about the prospect of one of their favorite artists coming? I mean, for example, you know, if you heard that Taylor Swift was coming here, you can imagine there'd be a section of society who are, you know, who were lining up to hand over their money for that.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, so our responsibility, I guess, both as Dubai Eye and entertainment venues like ours, is to educate patrons, as the amount of events are obviously increasing, is where are the appropriate channels to receive your information from in terms of verified announcements of shows as well as tickets. You know, so instantly, if the artist has not necessarily posted that he is performing in the city or a particular venue, so that's number one. If the actual venue itself, or Dubai Tourism, or Abu Dhabi Tourism, whoever it may be, and if they are not promoting or announcing that the show is taking place, and it's just a private entity, and that's sort of their first point. And of course, additional ticket agents like Ticketmaster or Platinumlist, if the show is not on their website or the venue's particular website, then it should be a instant trigger of, is this actually real or not?
You mentioned some of the platforms that you use there to sell your tickets. Mm-hmm. Have you guys in the industry, you know, changed your ticketing process to ensure that people aren't getting scammed either on the primary or the secondary market?
Yeah. So the reality is, in this market, because we are still growing and evolving in the quantity of sold out shows, you know, the secondary market is not necessarily such a big issue. However, fake tickets are, especially in categories that either don't exist or are completely sold out. So a few years ago, one of the biggest challenges we had was with Viagogo. And so Viagogo was the secondary platform. We worked with, obviously, the government authorities. We worked with the telco providers. So right now, if you go to a Viagogo website, it is blocked by, so a Duo or an Etisalat, it's a safe search, no different to some of the other prohibited sites that you would go visit. So that's the first step. The second one is obviously in terms of informing patrons what are the appropriate channels for purchasing tickets and where, from when they can be purchased and at what price they can be purchased at as well.
So the best thing that you can do as a music lover is just to be a little bit circumspect before you jump in with both feet and, yeah, and your wallet in your hand.
I would completely agree. So number one would be from Dubai Tourism, or the venue itself hasn't announced it, or sort of news publications and platforms like ARN. If they are not announcing a show that is coming through, then obviously take step by steps. Now, there are instances, and we've had this most recently, where an artist is overexcited about performing in the venue and they have posted that they are performing in Coca-Cola Arena, and we haven't got the permit yet and we haven't been able to announce it, but the news comes through. So there are occasions where an artist does that, but that's very rare. But we always suggest that it reliant on either Dubai Tourism, the actual venue, and of course, publications like ARN.
Mark, thank you very much indeed for joining us on The Agenda this morning. Really appreciate your time and your clear advice there. I love the idea of some of the artists jumping the gun slightly because they're excited. That is Mark Yankar there, General Manager for the Coca-Cola Arena. Hey there, welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us. And of course, big focus. I mean, here on The Agenda, we like to do news, we like to do analysis, comment, we like to do lots of international news stories as well as local. But the big story today has to be the weather. We were warned by the National Centre of Meteorology that we were going to get rain, and rain we have got. We had pretty epic storms first thing this morning between about 8 and 9. The skies turned dark. Really dark, like alarmingly so, like apocalyptically so. We all got a bit nervous here in the office. And then the heavens opened and now there is a huge amount of flooding on the roads. It is calm down here in Knowledge Village. We've got very moody sort of Gotham City style skies, but no rain falling. And even actually looking out the roads, the flooding seems to be abating slightly. Doesn't seem to be the case on rather a lot of the other roads around the UAE, it's fair to say. I've seen videos of real problems on Sheikh Zayed Road, particularly around the Al Manara exit. We'd be interested to get an update there. Producer Jennifer Crichton, as you can imagine, has been keeping her eyes on the realities of the roads. How is it looking out there, Jen?
Yeah, not too clever. We're just watching a van reversing back up an entry ramp outside because they've hit some flooding. We've got, as you say, a lot of flooding on Sheikh Zayed Road. We've got videos coming in showing it pretty much up around that central reservation. Apparently, areas of Al Kudra are particularly bad at the moment. Lots of traffic just stuck around Arabian Ranches and heading outwards towards sort of Mira town centre. Communities. We've seen people being forced onto the wrong side of the road at parts of Umm Sukeem Street. A lot of lying water. We've got similar issues across Sharjah and Abu Dhabi as well. Looking particularly bad at the moment on the E20 and E22 in Abu Dhabi as you head towards Sheikh Zayed Grand Mosque. Both directions there pretty much at a standstill. So the general advice is if you cannot go out, don't. We've also got disruption on the metro. Services have been stopped at On Passive Station. They've been replaced by buses, but those buses are, of course, also meeting delays.
Yeah, I mean, On Passive, that is actually the station right near the Al Manara exit of Sheikh Zayed. So you can imagine that buses are going to really struggle to get around that area. How about the airports? What's the situation?
So with the airports, we are seeing sort of rolling cancellations, delays. The best advice is to keep checking. But Paul Griffiths did say, don't set off for the airport unless you are sure that your flight is going as scheduled. This was the advice he gave on Business Breakfast.
Yes, CEO of Dubai Airports.
What we're saying is check the website, check with your airline, check the circumstances for your particular flight before you leave for the airport to avoid, you know, unnecessary journeys, because obviously with schools and offices and businesses closed today because of the weather, we don't want people to go out and take journeys unnecessarily when their flights may be delayed.
Okay, so what is to come? Because the weather forecast isn't very good, is it?
It's really not. And although at the moment, looking out the window, it's kind of calmed down a little, I think we're essentially a bit in the eye of the storm at the moment. It is coming back and with some dramatic fashion from what we can gather. NCM forecaster Ezra Al-Naqbi updated us earlier on, and she says there is definitely more bad weather to come.
Updates on the weather situations over the country. From now to today's afternoon, convective cloud over coastal areas move toward eastern and northern areas, associated with rainfall of different intensities, accompanied by a lightning and thunder, and a probability of hail over some areas. From today's afternoon till Wednesday early morning, another wave begins over the western area and includes scattered area over the country, where the amount of the convective cloud increases, associated with rainfall of different intensities, accompanied by a lightning and thunder, and probability of hail over some areas. From Wednesday morning until Wednesday afternoon, some convective cloud formation over coastal, associated with rainfall, and then concentrated over the eastern and northern areas, and the cloud gradually decreases by Wednesday noon. Please take all the precautions and follow the safety measures during the rainfall, and stay away from the area of floodings and water accumulation. The center is monitoring the situations around the clock and continue to provide you with the latest developments.
While we're on the subject of flooding and indeed hail, we did, of course, during our last rainstorms, see a number of cars damaged by that hail. And we are today seeing a number of cars sort of stopped at the side of the road because of issues with flooding. So it is a useful time to revisit what you should do if your car is damaged. We have some good news for people in Dubai. If your car is damaged by bad weather and you live here, you don't have to visit a police station to prove the damage. You can now do everything online. There's a form you can complete on the Dubai Police website. You're looking for the certificate package service and the to whom it may concern service for natural disasters. You can just upload a photograph of your car, you pay a 95 dirham fee, and you'll get a certificate electronically that you can use to get your car repaired. That is not yet the case in Abu Dhabi though. There you will have to visit a police station in Abu Dhabi, Al Ain or Al Dhafra to get that certificate.
How about damage to your home? I mean, if our sort of social circle is anything to go by. I mean, we've had about four or five people who just work in our office send through messages and videos of water inside their homes. Who is actually responsible for repairs in those situations?
I mean, that's going to be a very, very individual situation. Unfortunately, there's no clear black or white answer there. It's going to depend on the type of damage. It's also going to depend on what your rental contract says about responsibility and amounts. What is clear is that you are going to need to have insurance. We've been discussing this a bit in the office, those of us who don't have insurance for our houses frantically checking for it, because during those storms earlier in the year in the UAE, lawyer Claire Granger joined us and she explained that it's very, very important to have an up-to-date policy that covers you in case of any damage in your home.
You always should have insurance. But there are two types of insurance. One is your building insurance, so your shell. The other one is your contents insurance. Your building insurance will actually cover everything on the shell. So if you have a rain, it floods, it affects your electricity, it affects your windows, it comes through, it causes damages to the actual shell. That's covered by your building insurance. But your contents, so if it floods and it damages your sofa, your furniture, comes through the ceiling, goes into your wardrobes, that's your contents. So you have to have both insurance. If you're a tenant, your landlord has to have the building's insurance. You have the contents insurance because that belongs to you. So you have to have both. Otherwise, you could find out that while your landlord has the building's insurance, you are not covered for any of your contents and you could lose everything in your house, especially if that rainwater comes through, hits your electrics and causes a fire.
My goodness me. That's ominous words there from lawyer Claire Granger, reminding us why you need to have your home's contents insurance, even if you are renting. Huge thanks, Dan, to keeping us updated on everything that's going on in the world of travel. And when it comes to floods, please do keep us informed. Do tell us what's going on in your neighbourhood. We've just seen that Richard Dean has finally managed to get home to where he lives. I was about to say where it was, which was probably a bit too much. But suffice to say, say he had to wade through knee-high floods in order to get to his house. Check him out on social media, on Instagram, if you want to see what he's been getting up to. We are going to be discussing space as well, or exactly, not exactly space, a sort of version of space, because an Emirati is going to be spending 45 days living in a Mars simulation habitat starting on the 10th of May in Texas. Sharif Al-Ramathi will participate in a specially designed facility in Houston in Texas. That is as part of the Human Exploration Research Analog Project. It's known as HERA. Joining me now to explain a little bit more about the project is His Excellency Salam Al-Mahri. He is the Director General of the Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center. He's been kind enough to join me on the line from home, because I imagine, Salam, you are working from home in this inclement weather we are facing.
Yes, good morning, Georgia. I'm working from home, but my house is very close to the office, so technically I could go to the office. It's only a couple of minutes away.
Okay, well, that is good news from your perspective. Tell me a little bit more about this fascinating project that I think most people haven't heard a great deal about. What is the aim of the HERA project?
Yeah, well, the HERA project, I mean, these types of projects are very important projects. You know, they're a little bit different than our typical space projects because nothing actually is going into orbit. But it's very important when we talk about human spaceflight for us to be able to simulate different types of mission scenarios and see how people work together on long duration missions. So we had an analog in Russia a couple of years ago where Saleh Al-Amri went in for about 8 months, and that was simulating a mission to the moon and operations around the moon. And this is now our second analog. This one is in cooperation with NASA and the United States, where we'll be putting a crew member, Sharif Al-Ramathi, for 45 days in one of these analogs. And really, it's focusing on a mission to Mars, what the psychology of that would entail. And there's a lot of different experiments that will go on in those 45 days. 45 days is one of these missions, but we'll have a series of four different missions over 45 days for each one. So it's quite exciting. And I think it's really a unique experience for the crew members themselves.
Yeah, I mean, how come the UAE specifically has teamed up with NASA to do this? Is this because the UAE has a particular interest in Mars?
Well, it's nothing specifically to do with Mars or Moon. It's all about human spaceflight. So the reason we as the UAE are participating with NASA on this is because we have a very active human spaceflight program. So that includes an astronaut corps, as you know, and as well as missions, future missions to the Moon. So the type of these types of analogs are really good for us to train our crew members to understand what they'll go through when they go to the moon or Mars. But there's also another important aspect that with these types of analogs, we can get our universities involved. So we have three or four of our universities that are actively involved in the psychological, the physiological, and the scientific experiments that will be conducted in this analog. And this is really a very cost-effective way of doing these types of experiments on the ground, building a scientific team in the universities to learn how to do that. And then when we go to space, we have teams in the UAE universities that are able to do that. So really the cooperation with the academic sector is key here. And I'm very happy to say that we have these universities working closely with us.
You say analog. What does the habitat actually look like? Is it big?
No, it's not big at all. So I would say it's about a two-bedroom apartment, but very tight. And you'll have about four people living there for 45 days. What the analog does is basically simulate a spacecraft or a structure that in space that you'd be living in. So it should be tight, similar to the International Space Station or the Gateway to the Moon. Obviously, it would be a little bit different because you're not floating around, so you have to have precautions for gravity, and you know, you might hit your head somewhere, etc. So it's a slightly larger than those structures, but pretty much simulating living in a very tight environment. And I think the psychological aspects are always the interesting ones. So do people work together well? Do they start getting angry at each other? And those are elements that you really need to look for and see how you can solve.
I know that I would definitely not be the right person for this job. How was Sharif selected for it?
Yeah, so we go through a similar selection process as the astronaut program, but I would say slightly less rigorous because obviously it's less long term. We put out a call. We get people applying. People then obviously go through a selection process. Sharif is actually somebody that we know quite well because he's applied for our first astronaut selection when we selected Hazan Sultan, and he applied for our second one. And he got pretty far in those selections. So he's quite a capable candidate that we've known for about 5 or 6 years. He's also applied for this one, and this one he managed to succeed. He's an Etihad pilot. He's also got a PhD in avionics, so very capable, and I'm sure he'll do a great job there.
Does he basically, and alongside the other three crew members, does he basically pretend that he's in a spacecraft? Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's pretending, but very realistic. So the way they would go in there, the doors would be basically sealed shut, and then they will go into a scenario of taking off and then going towards Mars. So they would be in there, they would be talking to Capcom, they'd be doing the same exact situation as if they were on a station or a mission going to Mars. They have limitations in food, they have to do the exercise, they do the scientific experiments the same way what we saw Sultan doing. So the only difference would be is that you're actually not in space. And what we're looking at is that there are cameras everywhere, there's microphones everywhere. They're looking at obviously psychological aspects, physiological, how they work together as a team. So these are the elements that we look at.
It is a very interesting experiment indeed. Engineer Salam Omari, or Your Excellency, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the line this morning. Of course, Director General of the Mohammed bin Rashid Space Centre, discussing there that human exploration research analogue project. Absolutely fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for your time this rainy Tuesday morning.
This is The Agenda with Georgia Tolley.
On Dubai Eye 103.8, the UAE's number one talk radio station.
Time to discuss an international news story now, because jury selection is set to continue later in New York for Donald Trump's hush money trial. He has become the first former US president to face criminal charges in court. And basically, the allegations relate to allegations that he falsified business records to pay an adult movie actress, Stormy Daniels. Now, Mr. Trump denies the charges. He reiterated his objection to the trial on his way out of court yesterday.
Scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt.
Joining me now is Adam Ramey. He's Associate Professor of Political Science at New York University, Abu Dhabi. Interested to get your reaction to this, Professor Ramey. First up, is it going to have an impact on the upcoming American election?
Well, thanks for having me today. And, you know, I would say that I think that, you know, certainly any bad news could imperil Trump's chances. But so far, it doesn't seem to be hurting him terribly much. Trump has been consistently ahead of Biden in national polls, as well as the polls of key swing states that both candidates desperately need to win in order to take the White House in the November elections. And yeah, despite the current trial and potential upcoming trials for other cases coming forward, Trump doesn't seem to have suffered too much of a penalty in the polls at this point.
Outside the U.S., it feels really extraordinary that, first of all, a former U.S. president is facing criminal charges, and second, that doesn't seem to stop him standing for presidency again.
Yeah, it is really incredible, and we've never had a president, a standing or former president, face criminal charges like this before. It's really quite astounding. And indeed, it tells you something about the political moment that the United States is in. And the United States isn't alone in this respect. But the sort of the tribal populism that we see with one team supporting, you know, somebody who is increasingly unpopular with his own base over Middle East policy in particular, and the other candidate who is currently on trial for hush money paid to an adult movie star, among other things. And despite, you know, these moments that we live in, it's going to be a neck and neck election. And there is a really serious possibility that President Trump could be found guilty in these cases and still, get reelected to the White House in November. That is a real possibility at this point.
It's completely staggering and slightly daunting. I mean, he says always that these cases, both the sort of civil and the criminal, are politically motivated. Is it conceivable that that's true?
Well, I mean, certainly, it could be. I think that, certainly the evidence seems to be pretty damning in this case against Trump. And, to be fair, it's innocent until proven guilty. And it's the words of his former attorney, Michael Cohen, and Stormy Daniels and a few other key witnesses that will, the jury will have to ultimately make a decision about. But, it's interesting to note that in that first day of jury selection, they brought in just under 100 jurors, and over 50 of them had to be dismissed because they said that they couldn't be impartial in this trial. So that's yet another thing that's possible here, is that that this trial just drags on and on and on, and it forces the New York district attorney to just drop charges altogether because of inability to actually make something happen or potentially even cut a deal.
Goodness me, so many permutations to come over the next few weeks. Professor Ramey, thank you so much for your time. We'll certainly be bothering you a fair amount going forward to see whether you'd be happy to do regular updates on the situation there. Of course, relevant because, the American election is hugely important, not just for people living in the States, but also on a geopolitical stage as well. Professor Adam Ramey there, Associate Professor of Political Science at New York University, Abu Dhabi. Hello there. Yes, welcome back to The Agenda. We're going to turn our attention quickly now to sport. Our editor, Chris McCarty, has sent through this report.
Very good morning to you, Georgia. Happy Tuesday. Not even the adverse weather conditions can keep me away from joining you on the show today. And it's great, as always, to be with you. So much, I guess, to discuss. When is there not really in the world of sport? We'll start with last night's Premier League action. Monday Night Football coming to you from Stamford Bridge. It was Chelsea who've had a pretty wretched season, let's be honest about it. They were taking on an Everton side very much mired in relegation worries and troubles. And in the end, it was very much probably one of the most one-sided game of football I've seen this season. Chelsea 6, Everton 0. The start of the show, Cole Palmer, 4 goals for the young Englishman, a summer recruit from Manchester City. Those 4 goals take him up to 20 for the campaign, a remarkable return for what is ostensibly a midfielder. 9 assists to boot as well, and you can make a very good case to say he has been maybe not the player of the year, although there's a very good case to be had for that, but certainly the signing of the season. He's now level with Erling Haaland at the top of the scoring charts. And, well, Cole Palmer, at the minute, anything he touches seemingly turns to gold. Chelsea have now lifted themselves within striking distance of a top 6 place. They're just 3 points back from Manchester United and Newcastle. They've got a game in hand as well. They've got a better goal difference by virtue of that 6-0 success last night. So all of a sudden, Chelsea could be looking at a top 6 finish, given the fact they have been there or thereabouts flirting between the bottom half and the top half of the table for much of the season. That would amount to quite a turnaround for Mauricio Pochettino and his team. Of course, a perfect, perfect preparation for their FA Cup semi-final match with Manchester City this coming Saturday. Of course, City themselves in Champions League action tomorrow night against Real Madrid. So their sights firmly set on that. For Chelsea, well, they can now go into a bit of cold storage for the next week, prepare properly for that big one, the FA Cup semi-final clash against Man City on Saturday. So that's the Premier League action from last night. Of course, another busy night of Champions League action this evening. One of those comes from the Westfalenstadion over in Germany. Borussia Dortmund looking to overturn their 2-1 first leg deficit against Atletico Madrid. Barcelona, meanwhile, over at the Camp Nou in Spain, they'll be looking to protect that 3-2 wonderful win from last week from Paris against Paris Saint-Germain. Of course, Luis Enrique, the man that won won Barcelona a treble back in 2015. A former player, a former teammate of Barcelona's current incumbent Xavi, he'll be looking to mastermind somewhat of a, well, it has to be a comeback victory, of course, but yeah, can Luis Enrique find a way of knocking Barcelona out of this UEFA Champions League? So that's the football last night. That's the football to look forward to tonight. As for the other big stories, well, the records keep on tumbling in the Indian Premier League. We're talking cricket now because the Sunrisers Hyderabad, they broke the record for the highest IPL total for a second time this season. They posted a whopping 287 for three. That was against the Royal Challengers Bengaluru last night. Travis Head, the hero, he hit 102 from 41 balls. And the Sunrisers, well, they're beating their own mark, the 277 for three that they made against the Mumbai Indians last month. It represents the second highest score in a men's T20 and the highest in a franchise tournament. The match ended as the highest scoring T20, with Royal Challengers Bengaluru losing by just 25 runs in the end. They made 262 for seven, which is real good going, but wasn't good enough, and the Sunrisers Hyderabad victorious yet again. So that gets you bang up to date with that. The other big announcement from yesterday, Deontay Wilder will be back any boxing ring. He's heading for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. He will go up against the big man from China, Zhang. That's all been done under the guise of Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn. The two entities have come together at Al Turki Al Sheikh, the Saudi kingmaker, if you will, in the world of boxing. He's managed to pull those two entities together, and Deontay Wilder, for one night only, will be fighting under the Eddie Hearn Matchroom brand. So there we have it. That gets you back up to date with all the live sport. Stay safe out there, folks. If any of you are mad enough to be on the roads today, please do take care and then settle in for a big night of Champions League action a little later. Borussia Dortmund against Atletico Madrid, Barcelona against Paris Saint-Germain, both of those matches off at 11 p.m. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Chris McCarty, keeping us updated. I wonder how difficult he's going to find it to get into work in time for Off Script at 5 p.m. this afternoon. It is your Drive Time show. The Agenda is live Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m.